God is a promise maker. One pretty good definition of God himself is that he is one who makes promises and is powerful and faithful to fulfill them. All through the scriptures, God makes promises. But he doesn't just make promises like we do, you know, I promise this and I promise that, with words kind of floating in the air, and you never know whether these promises are going to come true or not. God makes promises and then attaches them to specific things. God is a promise maker and an attacher. He attaches his promises. He attaches his promises to the most unlikely things. Think of the Old Testament. There were promises all over the place God made to his people, but he always attached them. He got a great flood, destroyed the world, and afterwards to Noah and his family, he made a promise, no more floods. But he attached the promise. He attached it to a rainbow. I will be with you, he said to the people of Israel. I will be with you in the city of Jerusalem. But he attached his promise to the temple and to the Ark of the Covenant inside the temple. I will forgive you, he said. But he attached that promise also to the animal sacrifices. On and on, promises attached to people and things. God continues to do this in the New Testament as well. He is a promise maker. I promise you will be born again. He attaches that promise to water, in the water of baptism. I promise you that I will be with you, my body and blood, that I sacrificed on the cross. But he attaches that promise to something we can feel and touch, bread and wine. Today on All Saints' Day, God continues to show himself as one who makes promises. And he continues to be that one who attaches his promise to unlikely places and unlikely things. God the Son, Jesus Christ, walks up on a mountain and gives a sermon. He opens his mouth. And this sermon on the mount begins with a whole series of promises. But they are huge promises, big promises. He says, you will have the kingdom of heaven, I promise. You will inherit the earth. You will be filled and satisfied. You will see God. Great will be your reward. These are large promises, humongous promises. But Jesus attaches those promises, and he attaches them to unlikely places. He attaches them to us. He takes these promises and he puts them on us, Christians, his people, like a name tag or a tattoo. He's speaking to Christians, the people of God, and these promises belong to us. They belong to no other ones other than those children of God. But God, it's stranger than that even, because Jesus, when he is speaking and attaches those promises to Christians, he doesn't apply them to us sort of in general, generically. He attaches them again in a strange and unlikely way, in a strange and unlikely place. He says, when we mourn, and he attaches a promise. The poor in spirit, and he attaches these outside promises, outsized promises. And he promises them to the worst times in our life, to the places when we are going through difficulties and trials. He does not say, blessed are the Super Bowl winners, for thou shalt go to the Disney World. He doesn't say, blessed are you when you are happy, because you're going to make lots of money. None of that. He attaches his promises to those who are filled with grief, to those who are empty and aching, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, those who are spiritually poor, those who are persecuted. He doesn't attach these promises to all-star front page Christians, whoever they are. He attaches them to the quiet ones making peace, sacrificing themselves for others, the invisible ones who are pure in heart. God is a promise maker who attaches his promises to our suffering, to our hurt, to our lowliness. And this really should cause us to reevaluate how we look at ourselves in the course of our life and how we look at others. God is reminding us that his own son, Jesus, the one who delivers this sermon, himself suffered. He was poor and lowly. He was meek and persecuted, and yet was Lord and God of all. He suffered, shed his blood, endured pain. But those very things, those very marks of his suffering and his trials, are tokens of his victory. In God's upside-down way of working, his trials and his pain and his persecution marks his victory and his triumph over the forces of this world. The cross, to the eyes of the world, was the worst moment of Jesus' life. He lost everything, exposed publicly in shame and humiliation. But it was, in reality, in God's promise, his victory over death. It was his forgiveness. It was his trampling down the forces of evil. Satan and hell were conquered by those very things: blood, suffering, death. God attaches his promise to Christ's suffering and pain and crucifixion. This, God says, I promise you, is victory and salvation. And he says to us, you too, dear Christians, will be poor in spirit. You will have pain. You will hurt. You will grieve. But to these very things, I attach my promise, to those things, our trials and our difficulties. And so they become such things, mourning and grief and persecution. They are not signs that somehow God has abandoned us, that somehow we're alone in the world. But they are signs that we are like Jesus, that we are connected to our Savior Jesus. And Jesus says, blessed are you in those very moments. God attaches his promise to our tears and says, you will have heaven. And to our struggles and the sting of living in this world, all of those are marks. I'm blessed. I am God's child. God's promise applies to me. I will inherit the earth. As Christ rose, so will I rise. As Christ shares in the glory of the Father, so too I will see God. And I will share in his glory even as I descend to the valley of the shadow of death. God's promise is attached to me. God is a promise maker, and he attaches his promises to his saints. Those promises also apply to those who have gone before us, those who have died and are with the Lord. This list we will read today, the list you have in your own mind and heart of memory of the loved ones that you have lost, those Christians who have gone before us have God's promise of the kingdom stitched on their forehead, their baptismal grace. They, according to Jesus, see God. They are in his presence. They are filled. God has attached his promises to them, and death cannot erase that promise. The grave cannot take that promise off of them, because that promise is stuck to them with baptismal glue, and nothing can erase it. God is faithful. His promises are sure. And we and they are comforted. They are filled. They see God. They are in his presence. They share his glory. On this All Saints Day, We put our faith and our confidence in God the Lord, the promise maker, the one who says, "My son has suffered and died and risen again, and he is the champion. And I take all that he has done, all that he is, and I put it on you. And there is nothing in this world that can take that promise away." We put our faith in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.